Good morning. Well, thank you for inviting me up this morning to speak. And 22 years ago, let's see if we can get something up here first. Oh, we had it up already. Okay. 22 years ago, I would have never guessed that I would be up here sharing this morning about some of the major challenges and changes in my life, and how God actually carried us through our tough time that we had for a little while. And this morning, you need to know that everything that I'm saying and everything that I am wouldn't be possible without God's loving provision that He's provided so much for us. In Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 22 years ago, I was doing a survey job in this power station yard in Churchill, Manitoba. I was a surveyor and I had the survey rod in my right hand. I had a map in my left and I was calling out numbers to my coworker. And I was standing beside this big transformer, and when I went from the back corner of the pad to the front, my rod either touched this low-hanging line or the electricity jumped to it. 138,000 volts traveled down that rod, entered into the right hand, and then carried on through and exited out my right foot. It was also a bright flash. I caught my clothes on fire, resulting in 40% of my body to being burnt. So my coworker saw the flash and he came running down and he took off his coat and he put the fire out. And I just laid there. I had no idea this had happened until I came to, and all we had left now was we were out in the middle of nowhere, just to wait and hope that somebody would find us. As I lay there on the ground, I knew God, so I started praying and I started crying out for help. In Psalm 107, it says, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed, and they were glad that the waters were quiet. For me, it was a fact that the power stopped surging through my body and the fire was put out, and it was quiet. The scripture also says, and He brought them to their desired haven. For me, that desired haven was, take me somewhere that they can help me. Finally, what we didn't know was the power actually tripped out in the town, so a fellow did come out. They called the ambulance, and they came and took me into the hospital there. And they were trying to stabilize me for quite some time, and realized later that they had actually, this week, specialists were in doing some special surgeries, so the doctors, I didn't know this, but the specialists came in and they actually called them from their surgery, come over and help to put some lines in to help stabilize my system from shutting down and help stabilize me. So, but we can never underestimate that the power of God, how He brought these doctors here. He's there for us in our every need. And yet, there's times when I think I can do it myself. Isn't that where we run into trouble? The doctors were able to stabilize me. So after several hours, I was medevaced out to the Health Science Center here in Winnipeg. So after the intensive care for about a week, went into the burn ward and spent about 3 months. It was many surgeries, a lot of burn baths, healing, and praying. My arm and leg were burnt the worst, and the doctors thought, well, the limbs could be savable, but infection set in. And before the doctors knew where that infection was, they continued to take away the damaged tissue, anything that looked bad on the outside, to take it away. But the problem wasn't on the outside, it was on the inside. That's kind of like the sin in our life. You can't see it, but it's inside, so we have to let God take that. But it's God actually saved me twice. One afternoon, it came very close. The doctors were afraid of losing me. They brought a nurse in to sit by my side to watch me. And my eyes went back on my head. I was out, and the nurse started calling me, and I couldn't respond. I could hear her, but I couldn't respond, and she tried several times. And then finally, I snapped out of it. She left the room. She said, told the doctors that we need to do something now. By the grace of God, he led the doctors to where that infection actually was. And they amputated the right arm above the elbow and the right leg above the knee, because all the damage was in the joints from the electricity, and they found it. And these were some serious moments, but there was some serious praying too. People all over the world praying because they had faith that God would hear them. Our church family, the missionaries, our family and friends, people we didn't even know, were praying for us. And God heard those prayers. In James 5, it says, "And the prayer of faith will save the one who's sick, and the Lord will raise him up." On that day, he was definitely in control, and the healing began. During the 3 months while I was in the burn ward, something else was going on. My family and belongings were being moved to Winnipeg as... Oh, we're one script behind. All right. I wouldn't be going back to my old job, so our family and belongings were being moved to Winnipeg. That created a tough start because we were all alone now in a big city, and our family and friends were still up north. But God is good, and he got us through. There was a quote I hear often on the radio, and it says, "If he brings you to it, he'll bring you through it." By December 10th, I was healed enough to be out for Christmas. Then in January, I went back to the hospital for about another 3 months, this time on the rehab side for daily physiotherapy, rebuilding my strength, and getting ready for prosthetic limbs. Because of my accident, one might ask if I changed, and I'd have to say it's the way I look at things. I have to put more thought into what I'm doing, because there were things I could do before without thinking, and so do you. So simple things like doing up your buttons or tying your shoes, you don't think about it, you just do it. But when I had to do it again for the first time, I had to think about how I was going to make it work. And I could have made it easier and went to Velcro, but I realized that these are little challenges, and those little challenges are what you, once you get through them, they're little victories, and that's kind of what helped get you through, because once you realize there's a way to do it, you have these little victories, and you just keep, it helps you to keep going. Some of my other changes were learning to write left-handed. They brought the little whiteboard in, and it helped because I was learning to write. So by the time I got out, I could start to do a few things with writing. Standing for the first time, it took the three of us, everything we had, to get me up out of that wheelchair, standing on one leg in the bar, and I remember just shaking like crazy and thinking that there's no way I'm ever going to walk again. But they reassured me that if I keep doing my exercises, keep eating healthy and doing what they asked me to do, I could walk again. Facing our fears, my fellow co-worker and my wife Karen and I went to Churchill about 7 months after the accident. And that's when we took this picture, because it was good for us to go there, for Karen to see where it happened. For my co-worker, he went through, I think, a lot more trauma than I did, because he watched the whole thing, and I think it was good for him to be standing with me at the gate and saying, you know what, we're past this. Now we can move on. Another fear I acquired after my accident was swimming. I really enjoyed swimming until I went to Gimli Beach the first summer, and we tried getting into the water, and Karen helped me hop down into the water, and she said, okay, you can let go now. But I couldn't let go, because I had this fear that I'm going to go under the water. How am I going to come up? I don't know if I'm going to come up. So I couldn't let go. And during this time, I was working on getting my prosthetic leg, and I asked them if I could go in their pool and see if he could help me to swim. And they said, sure. And they taught me how to basically relax in the water, and then the swimming will come along. Well, I got over the fear of swimming, and I decided to try diving. The bouncing part's a little tricky, but it can be done. In 2012, we went to my daughter's wedding in Mexico, and they had a couple tours we went on, and one of them had some platform diving or jumping. And my boys said, come on, Dad, we're doing this. So there's two of us going down on a final jump. So we did this together. When I started walking again, I made a statement that I would never wear shorts again. Why? I'm not totally certain. Maybe it was a fact that everyone saw my arm. They used to see me in my wheelchair, and hey, I got this leg now and I can walk, and nobody can, maybe they won't notice. I have a limp, but I was surprised last week at bowling, someone said, well, I didn't realize you had a prosthetic leg. I thought you were just, I don't know, maybe clumsy, but just didn't know. So I thought, but at this time, I thought I could hide the fact, but we were going to Grant Memorial Church, and we used to enter the door each Sunday, and for several months, maybe a year, we'd go in there, and same fellow would kind of greet us each time. And one week my leg was sore, so we went into the church, and he was there to greet us, but he just stood there and stared at me. And he said, what happened now? Here he thought, oh, the poor guy, now he had another accident and he lost his leg. What's going on? So I started thinking about it, and I realized that, you know, maybe I should not try to hide things. I should just let it go. And so I started wearing shorts as often as I could, and realized that besides wearing shorts, it was a lot more fun. We were at the, this isn't Assiniboine Park, but we were at Assiniboine Park at a kite festival. People sitting on the ground just like that. And we were walking around. I had a t-shirt with my arm. I had shorts and my leg was out. And I was walking through the people and this little fellow blurted out, "Mom, look, there goes a real live robot." You know, we... God gave us a humor for a reason, and I mean, there's times when we can laugh about things, and I think that's, for me, a lot of what got us through times. And my son, Devin, was this little guy, and we were in cubbies, and he said, I went there to do a talk with him, and I was in my chair, so I hopped in the room and sat down, and the little girl beside him kind of, "Ha ha, your dad only has one leg." And he looked over and he says, "No, he's got three legs. He's got a long leg, a short leg, and one at home in the closet." The kids don't look at you as someone different. This is who you are, Dad, and it's okay. Sometimes we push ourselves, even when we think it's impossible. And that's what happens sometimes when I don't rely on God enough and I fail in my own strength. And I figured, well, sports for me was over, but not in that effect that I don't have to be so competitive. I still was, but I mean, but I could still play volleyball on Friday nights and get out and do some golf and tried many other sports. But one of the other ones that I've been doing in the last 2 years now is a 5K run in my wheelchair. And that's actually coming up next Saturday. I'll be doing a 5K. And it's to raise funds for our burn survivors like myself and to put on conferences for them. After a while, we get very comfortable in what we're doing and I have to realize sometimes that maybe that's the time that I should get out of that comfort zone and reach for the sky. There's so much more out there that we could be doing. Grant Memorial used to put on a living Christmas tree production, and they had a maritime Christmas 1 year, and I liked the boat and the idea of fishing and lighthouses, and so I auditioned and I became a peg leg fisherman. We had a lot of fun doing this play, but the best part was each night before we went out on our performance, we would pray and then they would tell us, you know, last night after the production, and I don't know numbers, but this many people came to know the Lord through this production. So through the 8 or 10 times we did this, a lot of people came to know the Lord through that. So that was, I would have never done that before. So it was something neat to do. And now I've talked about a lot about the areas that I've gone through and had to overcome since the accident, but you can never do it on your own. Not without all the support from people, and it started right from the hospital down to all your friends and family and all those around you. And I realized that having a lot of support, the right focus and determination helps you to stay positive when you're dealing with changes. Before my accident, my dad gave me this t-shirt. I wore it a couple times, didn't want to wear it out. That's why there's a picture on the side to say what's on it. But because after my accident, I took it out of the closet and I wore it often. Because it reminded me that I should never give up. When I got the shirt, I didn't know that one day it would actually help me to get through some of my struggles. At this time, we had 4 young children, ranging in from 1.5 to 10, and they too played a big part in helping me to be motivated. Especially when you're laying in the hospital and the little 3-year-old smiles, he's on the end of the bed and he's just smiling at you, and it's like, what kind of a dad am I going to be now? How am I going to teach him all those little things that I wanted to do? But you know, those little guys didn't look at me different, as I mentioned, and they'd come running to you and say, Dad, can you help me with this? Dad, can we play ball? Or Dad, can we go fishing? That's motivation. Ryan and I still go fishing. We found out sometimes if you go later in the day, the holes are already open, which is can be a good thing. You don't have to drill so much. But one afternoon we were out and we found some holes, and I decided to try kicking a couple open, and I couldn't get much pressure, so I decided to use my other leg, so I slammed it down in the ice, and I heard the ice or something crack, and I looked down and was like, oh, there's no hole in the ice. Oh, well, I'll walk over to the next one, and when I went to walk over my leg, I just fell into the snow. And my son was looking at me, and he goes, what are you? And then it clicked on, and he went, no, you didn't. And I said, oh, yeah, I broke my leg. So he come over and he helped me get up, sat me in my chair. He said, you want to go home? No, it was, no, why? It was a fish. It doesn't hurt. So he chipped my hole open. I started fishing. We stayed there for a couple hours, and then we were heading, trying to go home. And Ryan said, okay, I'm going to pack up the gear, take it up to the van. I come back for you. Wait here. So I watched him go across the ice. And I can do this. So I got up, I scooped up my chair, and I started hopping across the ice. But now you got to imagine that my leg is still attached to the ski pants and the boot, and everything is kind of, now they're dragging behind me and I'm hopping across. So it's kind of, and the fishermen are looking at you like, wow. And then Ryan come running down, he scooped me up over his shoulder, but now the boot's kind of swinging. One of the fellows yells out, is he okay? Oh, yeah, he's fine. He just broke his leg. And he says, just now? He goes, oh, a couple hours ago. When we got into the van, we sat there and looked at each other and we started laughing. And it's like, we don't realize the things we say. Those guys are just... Wow, I said, they're probably thinking we're real diehard fishermen. I also received support from attending, as I mentioned, the Mimingway Burn Survivor Society, and they help us through our struggles and along the way. But I've had privilege to contribute for the past 17 years with the committee, and sometimes it just means listening to others. Let them share their story. Or you might want to lighten their load and carry them for a while. So I want to take you back to a time before my accident, when I wasn't walking as close to God as I should have been. But the good news is, my parents, the missionaries from the Continental Mission, they didn't give up on me. And they prayed day in and day out that one day I would come back to Jesus. And God himself didn't give up on me either. Before my accident, God put a burden on my heart to share his story. But I struggled in that area. I was shy. I didn't want to approach people. I even took training through the youth group, but I didn't want to. I was just couldn't do it. And Walter and Chris couple weeks ago, shared their story about how they went to a mission field and were witnessing to people out there. And God was trying to tell me, I want you to do it here. So God will direct you to where he wants you to go. But after the accident, I had people coming to me. And after they hear what happened, they say, well, wow, you were lucky. You're lucky to be alive. I said, well, do you believe it was luck? Do you believe it was a miracle? Or was it just all part of God's plan of what he had in store for me? God has opened so many doors for me to share his story, and he wants us to serve wherever we are. Through everything we went through, we still found peace that everything would work out for us. But that had to come from God. I'm not saying we didn't struggle. We definitely struggle. God is good. And I'm so thankful that I knew Jesus as my personal Savior. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here today. Earlier I mentioned how God saved me twice. I talked about how he brought me through the accident. But the first time was when he saved me from when he died on the cross for our sins. And we just went through the Easter time and we're refreshed with what he did for us. At the same time, I asked him into my life at the age of 8 years old. So I've walked with him for quite a few years. But if I could go back and do that journey over, I think I would spend a lot more time getting to know God better through his scriptures, through other material, and just instead of wandering away from God, I would go back and study harder to know him. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. If so, I encourage you to search the scriptures and get to know God better. Or if you're here this morning and you haven't asked Jesus into your heart, then I encourage you to invite him into your life. I just want to share a few verses of the scripture, as I mentioned, how it fits with how God laid the burden on my heart, and then how he wanted me to share the good news. And it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. For it's with your heart you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and a Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses who all call on his name. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they haven't believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? And this morning, it doesn't have to be at Easter time or a special occasion. You can ask God in any time. And there's a simple prayer. And all you have to say is, Dear Jesus, I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. And I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior and follow you. Please forgive my sins and help me from this moment on to live a life that's pleasing to you. If you prayed this prayer or you want someone to pray with you, stick around after the service today. Before I end, I want to share one last story, and I call it my first adventure. When I got out of the hospital, I was still very weak, and I was using my wheelchair, and I had the one arm and one leg, and one night I decided I wanted to go on a little adventure. So I wheeled, at the end of our street is a Robin's Donuts. I said, well, it must be accessible, it's new. So I started wheeling down with the one arm and one leg, and it took me quite a while, but I got there, and I went in, and or I got down there, and when I found the wheelchair ramp, I realized that they had lined the wheelchair ramp at the time, they're gone now, full of newspaper stands. Well, this made it a lot harder to get up the ramp. This is a challenge. And I made it to the top. I got to the door. They didn't have the little button to get in. And so I tried pulling the door open, and I realized when I got so far back, I'm going to flip over in the parking lot. So I let the door go, and then I proceeded to go down the ramp because I was going home. I was giving up because I can't get in here. And I got to the end of the ramp, and then I spotted that little box for the drive-thru. So I wheeled over to it, all excited. And I called into it, but nobody answered. So I carried on around the drive-thru up to the little window. Now, when you pull up in your truck or vehicle, you're pretty close to the window and you can see the person. But when you pull up in a wheelchair, you're way down here. So I started waving, and eventually I heard the window open, and the lady looked down at me and said, can I help you? I said, I would like two Bismarcks and a coffee to go. Now, the reason I tell this story is because over the years there have been so many challenges, and even today, I could be challenged. We could be challenged. We could be challenged physically or spiritually. And we might want to give up. We might want to give in. Because Satan's out there and he's trying to stop us from speaking God's word. So when I look back at all this time and I realize how what has been accomplished and what God has done, and I'm pretty sure he's done a lot for you too. So as we leave here today, let's remember God is good, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I just want to close in prayer, and then we'll call the worship team forward. Heavenly Father, we thank you for how awesome God you are. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word this morning, and pray that you would be with each one here this morning, and you know their needs, you know their hearts. Just be with them now as they, in a little while as we leave, and we pray this in your name. Amen.